45 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of October in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day, live from the luckily appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. So is it just the one ear? It's not a cutting, it's more of a scraping.
It is. It was bleeding before.
I'm sorry.
And I really couldn't figure it out until I just put on these earrings.
Why is there blood dripping off of my head? Do I have an open wound of some kind?
I was a little scared at why my ear was bleeding for no reason at all.
Do you ever do this? Do you ever just... Maybe this has happened to you, maybe it's not. Do you ever just wake up in bed sometimes and it's like... The thing is, you wake up, and I'm not talking about like in the middle of the night with a horse's head or something, but I'm like, you know, the next morning you wake up, you get out of bed or whatever, and there's a patch of blood somewhere that clearly came from you, like for no readily apparent reason. You know what I mean? Like on your pillow, and then you do that thing of like feeling your head as though you're going to be able to feel a gigantic hole or something in the side of your head. I've done it in the past, not a lot, once or twice in my life, though, in my 33 years, I wake up, look over at the pillow, big patch of blood. Not big. But, I mean, really, what size patch of blood is acceptable to just appear on your bed sheets for no readily apparent reason? Where do you draw the line there? And so you look at it and you go, well, from where am I bleeding? That is sort of a sister problem to this. And I know you've done this. This is a relatable. Not even Thursday, Tuesday we're relating to you. Where you look down and you've cut yourself somehow, but you don't remember how or when. You don't remember it happening. You just look down, gash on your leg. Cut on your arm, scrape on your face.
Well, see, that's the difference, because you don't drink, so that happens to people who drink all the time.
And when you say people, you mean you.
No, I don't wake up with cuts, but I'll have bruises every once in a while.
You woke up and your foot was covered in blood just a couple weeks ago.
That wasn't my fault.
Uh-huh.
That was my drunken friend, Jay.
Uh-huh. All right, whatever you say. When Mr. Corleone's been turned down for a favor, he tends not to ask again, Sarah. That's all I'm saying. But if you're not drinking, it's especially troubling because then you wonder, why don't I remember rubbing my skin against something hard enough to actually rip it open at one point?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like a 6-inch cut or something, but you look down and really when something has actually rended your skin enough to make it bleed, that's the sort of thing you think would stick in your memory. Here's, if I can just take this one step further. Here's one step from that, the cousin to that. So you start with the waking up and there's blood on the pillow. And you don't know where it came from. And sometimes you never find out. That's the other thing. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you look down. And blood doesn't look like blood, does it, either? When you wake up, it looks like chocolate. When it's dried or something, it doesn't look like blood. It's not bright red. And so you're thinking, what have I stained this pillow with? How did this happen? And then if you come to the conclusion that it is blood, then sometimes you look around, you can't figure out where it came from. And that's disturbing. When it doesn't appear, and I'm saying, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're alone in the bed. You're sleeping alone. It could only have been you. Let's further say that you're a man. And so there's a finite number of things that could have caused. And you're looking around, go, well, where did I just spurt a leak from on my body that blood was coming out of? It's really creepy. It's almost creepier when you can't figure it out. And because that's like the blood fairy just came for no reason. So there's that. Then there's the inadvertently cutting or wounding yourself and you don't know when it happened. And then there's this. This is sort of in the same genus as the other two. When you wake up or not when you wake up, but when you just look down and realize and you didn't feel it happened, but it just did. When something has just bitten you. You do that, you look down, and it's clearly not a spider bite from like 3 or 4 days ago. You look down, and it's sort of red, and it's sort of that pink, with this white a little bit, and you go, something just bit me. And that's unnerving, because you realize that had you just looked down a moment ago, you actually would have seen a creature on top of you, actually biting into your flesh. And it's like, would you rather see that or not? I vote for not seeing it. Just find out about it after the fact. Just let me know when it's happened. These are all the things I think about, so you don't have to. But now, you will. It's 503-733-2970, and that's my final thought. This is sort of, you know what this program is sometimes? It's like a really hideous and stomach-churning Larry King's People, which I don't think even runs anymore. Tim, does Larry King's People even run in USA Today? Wasn't that USA Today that ran that?
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
And Larry King's People was this column that it was just a bunch of incidental and unrelated observations about crap, punctuated with ellipses. And so it would just be a whole column of things like, I love those little marshmallows inside a packet of cocoa. Dot, dot, dot. No man ever smelled as nice in person as Mickey Mantle. Dot, dot, dot. Is there anything better than a coffee spoon? Just stuff that just made no, you know, where did the word weeds come from? Just all kinds of crap that he would and he got paid for that. I read he got paid like $200,000 a year for that. I do that. Speaking of things I could and do, you may be seeing the phrase, our favorite new phrase on the Rick Emerson program.
New Direction?
Yes, New Direction. You may be seeing that coming to television. I almost don't want to be too specific. I don't want to give it away in case they haven't noticed it. I was, I'll tell the story later. I'll tell the story after this. All right, 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You'd like to join us today. All right, so I'm looking at the screen here, Scotty, but I don't see anything. It's a whole lot of blank. Is this somebody, there's actual multiple calls. I haven't even talked about anything yet. People are calling. It's like during OJ. Should I pick up whoever this is? I say, looking at the screen.
Probably Mailman Chris.
It's not Mailman Chris.
Oh, he's not here.
He's gone. Mailman's daughter, but not Mailman Chris's daughter. That we know of. It's Mary, whose qualification is that she is the daughter of a mailman. All right. Well, I don't have any, we'll just... There you go. Mary, hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
All right, you sound more awake. Yesterday, I don't mean any offense, but yesterday you sounded a little fuzzy, a little foggy.
It was an
yesterday.
All day, and I didn't know Scotty was going to patch me right through like that. So
now, we play with live ammunition here. You call the phone line, you might end up on the air. That's just the way, that's how we roll, Mary.
All right, I'm ready to roll.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to give you the list of topics. Do you remember what push-up number I am at today?
I honestly don't.
Sarah?
I know.
It's a tally hen.
56. We are at 56 push-ups.
Okay.
He's totally making that up.
I'm completely lying. I have no idea. But you know what? There's nobody here to correct me, so we're going to say it's 56.
We don't even need to use the number. We'll just do which ones you do and don't get.
You know what this is like today? This is like when the teacher leaves the classroom and they put some idiot student in charge, and he just makes things up. I'm just making it up. 56. So I'm going to guarantee a few items today. At the end of the program, I will owe a push-up for each item not gotten to. Are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right. Today, I will be talking, I will give my thoughts on the new Martin Scorsese movie, which premiered, it didn't premiere, but there was a screening last night. The Martin Scorsese film, Departed, The Departed. I think it's The Departed.
Okay.
I saw that last night.
Oh, you did?
I did. So I will give you my thoughts on that later on the program.
On.
I'm not. I'm giving nothing away. I asked Scott Daly if he wanted me to wait until he comes in with his review on Friday, but he said no. He said it was not. He said it is not embargoed. So I will give you my thoughts on that. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be stopping in later on. We have a Scotty J, a piece of news about Scotty J. Let's see. We have Ed McCarthy who's going to be joining us to talk about. I'm so glad, by the way, that this didn't go to Baumgarten. I was looking here and the are these people all calling about being covered in blood? Yeah, go figure. I saw this morning on the CNN prep sheet. It was school violence and internet safety. How safe are your kids online? And then I sort of was like, please, please, don't let it be Gary. Because then, you know, it's just going to be one, like, seething rant about blah, 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 perverts. But it's Ed McCarthy. He's always good for a chuckle. So we'll talk to Ed McCarthy, who is in Atlanta, about school violence and internet safety. And Lisa Goddard is, man, if you can't trust the Amish, who can you trust? Really? I mean, what kind of world is this? I don't know.
I don't think that guy was Amish.
He was, though, wasn't he?
They changed their minds afterwards.
Well, then why did he just... Why did he just
pick a regular non-Amish milkman?
Why would you pick Amish kids to go shoot then? That seems not... That's like going...
Well, there's no logical...
That's like going hunting for deer with no legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? That's beyond... I was going to... I'm just going to say... I hate to use that phrase, but I'm just going to say that not that there's a right group of people to shoot. I guess let me clarify that. I'm not saying there's a good group. I'm not saying there's people. Well, there are, but I'm saying it's wrong to shoot up anybody. But clearly, why the Amish? If you are not Amish, that seems like an overly specific kind of grudge for a guy who apparently isn't Amish himself.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Well, Lisa Goddard, I don't have to understand it because Lisa Goddard is there. She's in Lancaster County, PA. So she'll be talking to us about that. What else? Well, there you go. Tim Riley, what watchers have we today?
We have a corpse watch. We have a Darwin watch. We have a religious nutcase watch. A second corpse watch. And what's happening at CBS?
The thing is, with every day we don't do these, the corpses just pile up all around the world.
And yep, we're littered with corpses around here.
Nothing but work, work, work. All right, so there you go. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to weigh in on any of those things. That's what we've got, Mary. Have you got all that?
I got the two corpse watches, the Darwin watch. What was the other couple watches?
Let's see. Religious nutcase and
what's happening
at CBS.
Okay, got it.
All right, and so we will check in with you at, I don't know, like 2:55 or so and see what I've gotten to.
Great.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Mary. There you go. She's a spark plug. All right, it's 503-733-29. To be fair, she hasn't consumed the, like, three or four visos. Can I just tell you this?
Yes.
So I was talking to Buzz, who does our imaging here, and he was here this morning because our voice guy was recording some stuff, and he came up to me this morning, he ducked into my office, like, can I ask you a question about that viso? And I said, sure. What kind of question? And he said, normally it's the energy drinks, they don't really do anything to me. Normally they don't have any effect. And he got this really worried, like he was knitting his brow. And he's a guy who's a pretty cool cucumber most of the time. He doesn't really get rattled by anything. And I said, yeah. And he goes, does that stuff ever make you just really just sweat? Like, all the time? I can't stop sweating. I gotta go. And then he just ducked out of the room. So he consumed it, and he feels that it's doing something unnatural to his insides. I say to you, that's just one more evidence of its goodness and it's really just its potency. All right, so there you go. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely... And your hair looks clean, Sarah.
It
Sarah
is.
Dillon. Is your hair... See, I tell me I don't notice things. I spotted that your hair was clean. I'm not that guy who doesn't notice when something...
I already told you I washed my hair.
That's not true. You told me nothing of the sort.
Yeah, that's why I had my hair up in the bandana.
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't really listening.
Okay.
I heard that your hair was in the bandana. I didn't hear that it was because you... I thought it was just because you bicycled and you didn't want to blow it in the wind or whatever, getting all tangled.
Nah.
I didn't hear that it's because you washed it. I'm just saying it looks clean.
It is clean.
All right. See, I see. Sometimes I will be here at work, and I will see women who've done something to their hair. And it's like, I know that, you know, this doesn't relate. Like, I don't comment because really it would just be weird if I was to comment every time a woman here did something to their hair. But it's sort of, but it's frustrating because so many men do not notice and then women get irritated about it. I notice. Rick Emerson notices. And yet he doesn't feel he can comment. No point to that story. Tim Riley is working on the following headlines for you today.
Dennis Hassert removes Keeping Kids Safe links from his website and resists calls for his resignation.
That's too bad.
Meanwhile, he and Debbie are out fundraising for another congressman whose mistress claims he tried to strangle her.
Family values.
Hmm? A killer MILF man was angry at life and God. That's my baby, claims Anna Nicole's ex-boyfriend, and not Howard K. Stern.
Fantastic. All right, there you go. Nothing but the finest news from us today. All right, there you go. And so forth.
So give a spoiler. How was The Departed?
I got to wrap up something before we do that.
Okay.
I'm just really excited for that movie.
Every movie I've been excited about lately, it turns out to be a flop.
We got almost 4 hours.
Nobody went to see The Black Delilah either.
I'm trying to say this with a straight face.
I was really excited for that movie.
I still didn't see it. I'll rent it. The thing is, Brian De Palma, man, I'm so jaded with his films because he doesn't make good movies anymore. Let's just say it. He doesn't. No, we got 4 hours. I'm sure we'll get to everything. I got to make this. Somebody asked why Sarah was bleeding. I should probably clarify that because that's the sort of thing, if you just sort of say that and just let it sit there, who knows where that ends up.
It becomes an urban legend.
It really does. A whole lot of it. Did you hear that Sarah was a guy that I knew that talked to Ferris's cousin, sister's boyfriend, ex-friend at 31 Flavors last night, said that Sarah's bleeding uncontrollably from the ears. No, the thing is, Sarah bought some earrings
at the greatest store ever.
At a dollar store.
No, at Gen X.
Okay, but that's a dollar store, isn't it?
It's not a dollar store.
It's a dollar store that they don't call a dollar.
It has quality clothing. I paid $3
at a reasonable price. How much do earrings typically cost? Your earrings, what would you say is the mean price? of your earrings?
Well, I'm one of those ghetto people who buys them like packages of three.
Like with hair scrunchies?
Like the hoop.
With a goody hair
tie? Like a package of three, like, hoops is usually like $9.
You mean three sets of hoops?
Three sets of hoops, yeah.
All right, it's like $9. All right, so these were look, let's just call it what it is. I mean, Gen X clothing is on it.
Have you anything like these? They're awesome. They might be slicing my ear open, but it's worth it.
I'm just going to say to you right now, have you seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
No.
All right. You need...
Should I get a tetanus shot?
No. Everybody out there who's seen... No, her ears aren't turning green, Scotty. No, everybody out there who's seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you know what I'm thinking right now as I look at these big, hoopy earrings that Sarah Dillon has. That's all I'm saying. And let's just call a spade here about Gen X clothing. It's on 82nd and Powell. You can fool other people, but you cannot.
Awesome. That's where my dentist used to be. The one I used to have my teeth cleaned and water would be dripping into my mouth from the leaky ceiling while I was having my teeth cleaned.
Good times. That's where I bought my spray on hairs, right next to that place at Sally's Beauty Supply.
And then I was sent for x-rays a second time because the woman messed them up the first time.
There's also a discount cigarettes place right there, and across the street you can get your nails done while your cat gets a haircut.
People are always being hit by cars there.
They are.
Also, is it a Food for Less or a Winco?
It's a Food for Less.
Yeah, so there you go.
No, my glamorous radio career only allows me to shop at Gen X Clothing or Value Village.
I'm just...
Follow the broken glass.
See, if I shopped at a place called Gen X Clothing, I would never hear the end of it.
No, I'd never been there. I'd always just kind of mocked it as I drove by. Went in there once. It is like a trashy superstore wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Let me
ask
you,
the greatest thing in the world.
Now I'm going to make a note to myself. Trashy superstore wonderland. All right, so I'm going to ask you.
Maybe I can be a...
Yes, I'm sure the ringing endorsement you just gave. Well, you know, those are our people. I'm going to ask you a question later about a particular... And this is not for me, and it really isn't for me, nor is it for my wife. I should clarify that. I'm going to ask you later about a fashion choice, a clothing ensemble, as the French would say, and whether or not... And just get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Later on, I'm going to throw out a combination of clothing that someone would wear. And then I'm gonna say like, what if you saw someone wearing da 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 da, and get your immediate thoughts on it?
Okay.
There's nothing riding on it. It's just a conversation that somebody and I were having earlier.
Do you have like
today.
A nail file or something that could file this pointy part down?
So here's the thing: is that Sarah has bought these earrings for like a dollar at Gen X Clothing on 82nd and Powell, home of all good merchandise. They're now cutting into her ears and she's bleeding. So. If you find that you're not bleeding enough...
I have not seen hoops this big since 1993.
It's huge. They're huge.
They're awesome, and they're thick.
No, the thing is, they look like shower curtain rings. That's the Trains,
Planes... They do look like shower curtain
rings. In Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, Del Griffith, played by John Candy, is a shower curtain ring salesman. And he and Steve Martin need to get some quick money, so he goes to the mall and he sells them to teenage girls as earrings.
Oh.
And he's all like, they make you look grown up, and then they just blindly hand their money over. So that's why I'm thinking of that. No, they're nice. See, you make them work, though. You make them... I'm just saying, they make you look fine. It's the fact that your ears are bleeding. That's, I think, really the yin to the yang of the earring's attractiveness, is the bleeding ear.
Thank you. Well, at least you can't see the bleeding when I'm wearing... I'm just going to have to keep wearing the earrings because it masks
the
cut.
No, I'm not saying... No. I'm just saying I toyed with whether to say the Del Griffith thing, because I don't want you to think the earrings look bad. The earrings look fine. It's just sad that you would wear something that is slowly like... Because it's like a pit in the pendulum thing, right? Every time you move, the earrings rock back and forth, and they scrape away another layer of your skin.
I know.
It's very sad. No, they're nice earrings, though. You make them...
I think it's... I just won't be able to... Because I bought them in black and white. I can't wear these black ones. There's a very sharp, pointy edge.
I think that I can say this, and I swear to God, we'll quit talking about fashion. Because... People are going to get the wrong idea.
Are we going for the gayest show ever again?
I don't think we have to go for that anymore.
As a matter of fact, I think you should read this.
I don't think we have to go for that anymore. I think it just sort of happens. I'm just saying that Sarah Dillon is the exception to most clothing rules. I think we know that you are the exception that proves the rule to almost all fashion. Even fashion rules that I know.
Because I really have
exception.
No fashion sense.
No, but because you're so aggressive about it. Your whole, and I mean this in a good way, you're a very independent, sort of assertive person. So your whole persona is sort of like, yeah, I'm wearing this. What of it? You know, and it's like, you get the feeling that you'd probably fist fight somebody who insulted the way you dress. So you make it work because you're just so like,
well,
what are you going
to
do?
I remember when I was little, when I would go, but like when we went to a fancy private school and I couldn't afford, you know, like the name brand Keds and stuff. So I had to start like trying to work
making
with
it
the
yourself?
Stuff. Exactly. I had to start working with the Kmart stuff that my mom
would
buy.
Okay, I swear to God, I'm going to ask this one last question. And we're going to talk to a guy who's standing next to Sean Penn. Okay. Are you ever going to post a picture of you dressed as a punk rocker at like 10.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Let's talk to Timothy. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. It's Timothy, your local recovering addict.
Yes.
I have to retract my last
attention
couple performances on the show. Brad Pitt is not in this movie. Rather, Vince Vaughn is. The Vaughniston.
The Vaughniston.
Oh, my God. He's so hot. And will you take a picture of him?
I'm not allowed to. They'll throw me off the set. But check
out. That explains why he's not in L.A. with Jennifer Aniston. I have been wondering that.
Check it out, though. I'm going to talk to the production assistant and tell them that I have a local radio station on the phone, and I'm on the set tomorrow too.
Try to stalk Sean Penn with a camera until he punches you. If you, I'm telling you this. No, if you can get Sean Penn to punch you, I'll give you $100
and a T-shirt.
No, I'm seriously. If you can get Sean Penn to strike you physically, yes.
Stop talking. So, are you next to Vince Vaughn?
Oh, dude, we're having so much fun on this set. I'm dressed up like a Braves fan. It's supposed to be in Atlanta right now.
Timothy.
And,
Timothy.
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 Yeah. Timothy.
Can you see Vince Vaughn from where you are?
No, he's actually in South Dakota. He's been wrapped up. I'm looking at Sean right now.
You were looking at Sean Penn.
Yes, and he's standing right next to Emil Hirsch, the main actor in this.
Who's Neil
Hirsch?
Who's Neil Hirsch?
A guy.
Emil Hirsch. Oh, dude. A good-looking 21-year-old guy. He's been in about 11 movies in the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually called Into the Wild. It's that book you were talking about.
It's by John Krakauer. Yeah.
Exactly. So I will work some magic today and see if I can get him on the air for you guys.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. All right. So
you guys have a great day.
All right. Tell Sean Penn I love taps.
I'm not going to call him, what's his name, Spicoli.
Oh, yeah, yeah, be sure you do that. Yeah, that's after you stalk him with the camera. Thank you, Timothy.
You guys have a good day.
All right, there you go. That's Timothy.
I think they were looking for more cast members today.
We have that right here, actually. let's see. Where did it go? This is, let's see, from Actors in Action, which I guess is...
I'm Dylan and I.
What?
What?
No, I worked for them once.
Yes.
You're on the spam list forever?
Yes.
They call... Let's
actually,
see.
I'm going to give them my $6.
They need another 15 extras on the set today, which is today, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday. So today and tomorrow. You may still work these days and blah, 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 blah. So McCormick's Restaurant, 9945... Should I be reading this on the air?
Sure, why not?
McCormick's Restaurant, 9945 Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. The scene is a fancy restaurant, so wear slash bring nice clothes like you were dining out. Pastels are great if you have them. Oh, this takes place in the 80s, doesn't it?
I don't know.
It has to. They need you there now, it says in all caps with like 100 exclamation marks. Thanks, says this guy. So there you go, everybody. Descend on McCormick's Restaurant. Oh, this will guarantee that Sean Penn will be cooperative.
Maybe someone can, not rope him.
Seriously.
Maybe someone could bring him here.
No.
If you bring Sean Penn here.
Don't.
I'll give you a visa.
Okay, seriously, if you can get Sean Penn to punch you, I will. No, it feels like it takes a lot of
provocation. Well, we'll give Sean Penn a visa, too.
Yes, Sean.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it, rick@rickemerson.com. We're so behind. If only I wasn't so poor and lonely.
It's a topical program.
Well, you know what? We come back. We got Ed McCarthy. So, Eric, I see you on hold. Eric, my friend, my son, my liege. Stand there, because you're talking about the Amish, and we're going to talk about the Amish when we get back, because Ed McCarthy has got a little bit about the school shootings and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live in Portland. Hey, yeah, I bought those after, I hate to be that guy. I don't want to be this bicycle guy talking about, I had this really gnarly crash. But when I was biking to Entercom one day, because there was a train tracks you had to go by.
Yeah.
And it had rained, and it was dry everywhere except on top of the train tracks. Bam, 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 I'm crossing them, my wheels slip out, and then, of course, what do? I'll stop myself with my palms. And then put your hands out, and man, just totally took off all that was bad.
See, mine, I just grip my handlebars so tight when I'm riding that when I get to the station, I have, like, black rubber on my hands.
Yeah.
So I need to get some padding.
No, those gloves are great. They're gel-filled, too. They make a winter variety that has fingers. Okay. I'm just saying, it's 503-7332. This is a program that's become very fashion-centric lately. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now go to the South. And talk to our good friend, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. How are you today?
I am. Are you actually in Atlanta? I always say this, and then it turns out you're somewhere else. No, you are at the CNN Center today.
Well, I am. Actually, I'm headed en route here from the CNN Center. I am headed north.
To?
From downtown Atlanta. Headed to La Hacienda.
Okay. Ah, that's right. Oh, is it? Are you done? Is it your work day over?
Not quite, but, you know, I could do some of it from home if I do so choose. I get in there about 5:30 a.m. Eastern, so.
Let me just tell you this. We had, here at CBS Radio, we had a disaster preparedness meeting this morning, which is.
Oh, boy.
It's one of those things where they, you know, they put you in every conference room and they go, let's suppose the building was swarmed by aphids. What would you do? And so I'm totally going to pitch the idea of just doing this show from my house, just sitting on my sofa, Art Bell style, and just broadcasting the whole thing from there. Is this?
Well, you know, if you could do that, that's great. I mean, that's always a good plan to have Plan B.
That's what I do. Let me ask you this: is the CNN Center where headline news comes out of?
Yes, exactly, and CNN.
Here's the thing that I always think about, and then we'll talk about all these kids who are just all, it's all crazy these days. But when I see headline news, I always wonder this, and I think a lot of people do, and I'm not sure actually if it's still set up the same way as it was kind of when I was watching headline news all the time. That my headline, and this is no offense to you or to your glorious news gathering organization, I sort of peaked during the Lynn Russell era, but I would watch the news, and a lot of news broadcasts are like this, where there's the news anchor sitting at the desk, and they're shuffling their papers, and they're looking in the camera, reading the teleprompter, doing their stuff. And then there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the background. And I always wonder if those people in the background, if they're real people, do they know they're on camera? I mean, it's just kind of weird when the anchor is like behind them is an office, and there's always like 800 guys back there like doing whatever while the newscast is going on.
Yeah, they always get a newsroom shot in there. Well, they used to anyway for headline news. Not so much anymore, but at least for CNN they do that.
Seems like
that when they're out of Atlanta.
Just a disaster waiting to happen back there. You know what I mean? All right.
People running around, you know, what's next on the phone, trying to confirm stuff, and just doing the old newsroom thing, I guess, huh?
This Amish, and we're going to talk to Lisa Goddard about this a little later on, this Amish thing, which is really bizarre. Now, is to the best of your knowledge, this is what they claim it's the third school shooting in a week? Do we just not even notice them anymore? Because I can only think of the guy in Colorado. What was the third one?
No, I'm telling you. Well, yeah, the third one, there was Colorado, and then there was Florida.
Well,
there was one in Florida.
Florida, you just sort of expect everything to be. Florida is just one big chaos factor down there. That place is just discord incarnate. And it says, here's what it says. CNN's Ed McCarthy spoke with one security expert who says, schools are vulnerable and metal detectors are not the answer. Let me ask you this. Are kids just crazier than they used to be? Or is it just that there are like more guns laying around?
Well, you know, it's not just kids anymore. It seems like it's these adults that are getting into schools. And, you know, who is challenging people if they're not recognized when they come in and get on the property?
Well,
That's my question.
I mean, I hate to be one of those guys going back to the when I was a boy, but I just, because I know that public shootings are not, it's not like they're just a recent phenomenon, because there was Charles Whitman, of course, and then there was there's some case back in Scotland, like in 1950 or whatever, where a guy like killed 12 people. But I mean, it really does seem like this is like we are in some sort of hideous golden age of school shootings. You know what I mean? Public shootings. I remember when that guy shot up the California McDonald's, and that was in what, like 85?
Yeah.
Where that guy,
exactly.
He put on his fatigues and just sort of left home telling the wife, like, I'm going to go hunt some people. I'll be back. And, like, went off to McDonald's and killed, like, 20 people or whatever. I mean, is there some reason why that never happened before and then now it happens all the time?
That's a hard question to answer, because, I mean, I went back and I was doing a little research today, and I just went back and I found a list as long as your arm of shootings at schools. And I remember when we had one in Georgia, not too far from Atlanta, in Conyers, Georgia, at Heritage High School, a few years back. I called there today, and of course, nobody wanted to talk, or at least they never got back to me. And, you know, it's understandable. I guess it's just a horrible memory, but the question I had for them is, how have things changed now with security in place after you had that tragedy? But I didn't get an answer.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy or a cover-up or anything, but I'm just saying, does this happen? I mean, does it just happen all the time and the media just selectively chooses which ones to talk about or whatever?
No, it's happened a lot over the years, but as the security expert said, you know, you try to work to stop these things, and whenever something is hot in the news, it's always in the forefront, and then it suddenly goes away for a while, and people forget about it. And then come the budget cuts, and they don't, you know, they skimp on security or something else. And, you know, that's where it goes. He says instead of, you know, the wake-up call for these things, he says it's kind of like hitting the snooze button, and then nothing is ever done, which I thought was an excellent quote.
I suppose. I just never know, and I was just saying earlier, I always try to police myself because the last thing I want to do is to be in a good mood. Well, I remember back when we had family values in 1985. But, I mean, I think Sarah, I'll be curious to know this. So you went to high school. God, so when did you graduate from high school?
In 98.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
No.
Oh, no, when did you graduate, Ed McCarthy?
The time of John Quincy Adams.
Yeah, so Sarah graduated in 98. I graduated in 91. And when you were going, and this was in Bremerton, right? You were going to high school?
Yeah.
Did they have, like, metal detectors and fences? And probably
God,
not.
God, no. No, nothing.
Because that was you.
Because we would sneak out all the time and, you know.
Totally.
Go out to lunch or, you know, drive to the neighboring town.
And you graduated before Columbine, right?
Yeah, I graduated the year before because that happened in 99.
So I wonder if you go back, it's the same thing now. So, yeah, so you and I both went to school. Like, I don't know if bringing a gun to your school, probably. Did anybody come in and shoot up the cafeteria when you were there?
No, we had, like, little gangster kids. But and there were some shootings, but not at the school. Just
yeah.
in, you know, like the bad parts of town.
So I just don't know what it is. Not that I'm going to sit here and brainstorm the answer or whatever, but I mean, really, we were just little bastards, but they just kind of let us do whatever we wanted. If you wanted to, no, seriously, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying, like, I remember, just to use a sort of a case study here, I remember we would have these hideous pep rallies, and where you'd have to get together in the gymnasium, you'd have to, like, you know, say go team, and then you'd ogle the cheerleaders, and then you whatever. Well, that lasted until my sophomore year when me and my friends all got cars. And then as soon as they, all right, pep rally at 11, and then that was like our sign to just go hang out in front of the 7-Eleven, you know, or just go smoke cigarettes in somebody's living room for an hour or two. Nobody stopped us, no fences, no security guards, no checkout. Man, I mean, it was like a minimum security prison. We came and went as we pleased. But by the same token, there wasn't anybody bringing a shotgun to school either. So, I just don't know.
We were pulling in one day, pulled the car in, we went out, we skipped, skipped class, and it went out to lunch. Came back, parked the car, and who's the next car? The guy getting out of the car? The principal.
Yeah,
Bad timing there, folks.
I just think, I don't know, man. Maybe just like the more you just tell kids it's a dangerous place, the more they figure, well, I might as well just be part of the danger. Because right below that, here's the two things. So there's school violence, which you're talking about, and then right below that, internet safety. This is how safe are your kids online. And let me ask you this, speaking of online safety. Right here on this radio station, we were playing a PSA the other day that has Jamie Lee Curtis coming on. And she says, did you know that 1 in 5 children is sexually solicited online? That's a made-up statistic. How would they possibly arrive at such a statistic?
Good question.
I mean, is that the jibe at all with what... Because it says here that you've been kind of talking about it. I mean, it just seems like they make stuff like this up, and so as a result, everybody's just all jacked up for no real reason.
Hell, you know, I've noticed a lot of that. You know, that's true. I mean, you wonder how much research people are doing on some of these public service, especially a lot of them that I hear in the overnight hours. You know, that said, come on. I mean, I guess maybe you don't have quite the audience to challenge them at that time. I don't know.
I just think it's... But see, I think it's emblematic of the whole thing. Is I'm not putting it on you. I'm just saying that I mentioned this, and your response is sort of like, well, I don't know. What can you do? Because it does all just seem to be a little fabricated. So, I don't know. What can you do, Ed McCarthy? What can you do?
What can we do to change society and make it better? I don't know.
Well, when you figure it out, you let me know, and then we'll institute a brutal crackdown on everyone who dissents from us.
I'll make you the
Roop has already applied for vice president, but I can make you the enforcer, Ed McCarthy.
Well, like I told you before, as long as I'm on the cabinet, I'll be fine.
There you go. I'll put you on the payroll, brother. All right. Well, if you have any grand breakthroughs in how to solve the world's problems, you let us know, my friend. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Rick. Take care.
Right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. There you go. That was the best response ever. Ed, what about this internet statistic you could supposedly talk about today? Well, you know. There you go.
Fantastic.
All right. The only time, just this last thing I'll say about it, and we got to talk about this. I got two Scotty J things to get to. One, we got an announcement to make about our good friend Scotty J. And two, I wrote down I wrote down, here's the best kind of things to talk about on the air. It's when somebody comes in and they say something, and then they immediately want to take it back. But usually by that point, it's too late. We've already written it down. And that happens a lot with Sarah and I. Where Sarah comes in, you know, let me tell you about that. And then I'll write something down. And she said, but you can't, don't talk about that. And those are always the things that are the best. So I wrote something down. Scotty said something in my office yesterday, and I immediately, he must have seen the glint in my eye, because I immediately like leapt for the keyboard and I transcribed it. And then he's typing, forget it, it's not as funny today. It's exactly as funny today, you bastard. I got it right here. And it wasn't just, Scotty, here's the thing, is it wasn't just what you were concerned about, it was the actual verbiage you used. That was really the best part. It was the phrase you used to describe this problem. So we'll talk about that in a second. I do have to say this. As a final note, the only time, I mean, I can only ever think of once that anybody ever even brought a gun to my high school. It's not like I went to high school 100 years ago. I was in the 90s. But, I mean, you know, some girl that brought a gun, the only thing she wanted to do was kill herself. We had a girl shoot herself in the parking lot one time. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I guess her whole thing was just to make it a public, and it was just like in a gangster movie, because she brought it in a violin case. Literally, like, it's just like in The Godfather, where she walks with a violin case in the middle of the parking lot, and then says, hey, look at me. Bam. Gone. You know, so that's it. All right. Maybe geeks are just becoming more aggressive. Anyway, so let's summon before we spin out of control here.
God, EJ, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, how are you today?
Good morning.
You're looking
good.
Looking younger than ever.
Yeah.
Hair immobile as always.
I've got a little bit of a cold because it is going around. It's the
great
Carol
thanks.
Thing.
Thanks. I'm glad you're using that microphone. And you're unshaven today as well.
Actually,
late
I shaved
night in the
today.
Day.
Really?
I'm bad about that.
Oh.
I need a new razor. And it's a Fusion, by the way. I remember the other day. I couldn't think of it. But
God, what? Is that that motorized
thing? It's
got
thing? Like five. This one isn't motorized, but you can get it motorized. With this. It has like five blades, and they're pretty cool.
Okay,
but obviously it's dull because it's not working.
Yeah, but why would you need some... What is wrong with your skin if you need five blades? How is it that people shaved 50 years ago?
Well,
if you need five blades to get rid of your hair, you ought to be selling yourself to Ripley's right now, because you got goddamn weird hair. What, are you just growing steel wool out of your face?
That's true. You don't need it, but what it does is it, like, pulls.
Let me understand this. One, does one shave close, and then the second incredibly close?
Yeah, and then, yeah.
Yes, and then...
In succession.
Does a third pull up your skin, and, like, a fourth, like...
Rips your skin.
Yes, thank you. All right. Uh-huh. It's not the motorized one, though.
No.
And the worst part
I've used the motorized one. I like that.
I said, but why don't you just get an... I'm sounding grumpy. Why don't you just get an electric razor?
Because it's a different motion.
Is it?
It's more wiggly than just an electric razor.
This really sounds like we're talking about vibrators.
Why are we talking about
razors
now?
Because I had no idea. Let me just say this, though, that if you had pulled me aside and said there's one person in this building who uses... What is it, the Gillette Fusion?
Right, I couldn't think of that the other day when we were talking about it.
How much does it cost? How much does a pack of blades for the Gillette Fusion cost?
Ooh, I'm going to guess, like... $8 or something.
I'm
like
guessing it's more than that, and here's how I know. Because my razor's only got three blades, and they cost $18.99 a pack. So there you go.
Are you?
They ought to just, here's a note to self, attention geeks, they ought to just market a product that's just called the Hydra. And it's just eight tentacle-like blades that cut and massage your face in every way possible. Here's another note I made to myself last night, and then I'll get to the Scotty J thing. Speaking of stuff they ought to sell an eight-bladed razor called the Hydra. Also, you know what I'd listen to? I'd listen to a DVD commentary track that was just a retarded guy and a guy with Tourette's.
Okay, you were just talking about why do you need five blades, and now you're introducing an eight blade. What's up with that?
It was just a joke, Scotty. We're going to move on. all right, so we make the announcement, or should I ask the question first? Sarah?
Since I know the announcement, I'd like to hear the question.
All right. Well, so we'll get to the announcement a little later on. I'm just going to say this. So Scotty was in my office yesterday, and it was apropos of nothing, too, which is how I know it really bothered you. So he comes into the office, and he sits down, and we're, like, going over some paperwork and some crap. And he sits there, and he's, like, looking at his watch, and he's doing that. And it's a very particular kind of watch checking that... All guys like us would know it is the I got to do something or my wife's going to kill me thing. And so he's constantly looking, and I said, what do you got to do? And he said, I got to go buy a Boy Scout uniform. And I thought you were kidding for a minute. Like, I thought you were sort of joking around with your sort of persona. You know what I mean? That you're such a clean cut suburban guy. And then you said that you actually did have to go buy, what is it, a Boy Scout uniform, a soccer uniform, And then what else? There was something else.
Well, basically, I had to go buy the Boy Scout uniform and then go to the soccer.
Because there's two different things. A, you'd use the phrase, my wife is shoving this whole Mr. Mom thing onto me. What does that mean? Is there a picture of you with a Kiss the Cook apron on at some point?
Well, it's like when you donate your time for free to a community radio station.
We're not a community radio station.
Be careful.
We're part of the mainstream media.
Right. You feel like you're accomplishing something, and then she just dumps more responsibility onto you.
Does your wife not view this as a real job?
No.
He's a DJ.
Really? Does she? Let me ask you this. What does she think
of your mobile DJ service?
Not much.
What does Mrs. J do?
She's in real estate. And I had a real job until I decided to...
Let me ask you this.
Until the midlife crisis.
That's right.
let me ask you this. We're getting off the subject now, but... Do you and Mrs. J go out with other couples?
Yeah.
And so, how do you approach this whole... Do they know that you work here?
Does she demand you in front of other couples?
Does she reach down and just unscrew them and put them in a jar?
Let him answer. Who's going
to
answer?
Well, I've been here for a while, and a lot of people know that I'm... And they already listened to your show.
So they know.
Before, and they know, and so they're like, you know, what's it like? They ask all these questions and that type of thing.
So do they ask about the money?
A little bit.
And yeah. So how do you respond to that?
I tell them that I, you know, I donate, basically, my time.
Okay.
They're like, you're crazy. But.
And so because you, as you put it, graciously donate your time to us in the unpaid intern position, so does your wife feel like this isn't really, this is just sort of like your playtime, and so when you get off at 3, there's a long list of items waiting for you?
Exactly. That's how I feel that she feels, but, you know, of course she would say, no, if I confronted her on this.
Really? Would you like, do you have her number?
I don't remember.
She might be showing a house, Rick.
That's right. Yeah, don't bug her. Exactly.
Oh, and the thing is, you've got no leverage, do you? There's not a whole lot, but baby, Anyway.
So has working in radio impacted your relationship with Mrs. J in a negative way?
No.
It hasn't affected your ability to function as a man, has it?
No.
All right.
Increased your drinking habit.
Yes, it has done that.
Fantastic. No, but that's not even what I was going to get to. So you mentioned soccer uniform, and then
she's shoving this whole Mr. Mom thing on me. That's hysterical.
Two phrases. She's just shoving this whole Mr. Mom thing on me, and it was just. And then he just did this thing of like leaning forward and like looking down at his feet and sort of grinding his teeth in the office. And then I kind of went, because like, how am I? What are you supposed to say in response to that? Like, well, okay,
It'll be okay.
Yeah, because that's clearly not true.
Did you give him a comforting pat on the back?
Oh, I just ignored it. No.
A tender moment?
I just acted like I didn't hear it, but I typed it down.
No.
I don't completely ignore him.
Seriously, I'm like, fantastic. And I brought up Microsoft Word, and I'm like, note to self. Tuesday show, Mr. Mom, Scotty. No balls. You know, it's just totally...
So we just call Scotty no Mr. Balls. Mom for the rest of the day.
No, but then, as I'm typing notes to myself about his emasculation, he then just begins to seethe aloud to no one, and he says this. He says, damn, Boy Scouts are pussifying my boy. And then he gets up and stomps out, and that's it. We're sitting there, and he's literally sitting in the corner of my office, hunched over, looking at the floor, and he says...
Had he been drinking?
No, this is like... Well, maybe. It is CBS, but it's like right after the show. This is yesterday, like 3:20. We're sitting in my office right after the show, and the best thing is, he didn't say it to me. It was like he said it to the fates, like to the Furies, to them, and he goes, goddamn Boy Scouts are pussifying my boy.
My boy?
My boy. It was said in like full-on Homer
Dick Simpson
mode.
We just had a full-on conversation like less than a week ago about how positive like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are for little kids.
It's positive until I went to a meeting and I saw no male leaders there, and so I'm just wondering.
Luckily, all the male leaders were touching the little boy. Are they all women?
Well, maybe that's good.
So is that so? In what I'm curious about this. In what ways are the Boy Scouts pussifying your child?
I'm just thinking how you're supposed to teach him to be a man if you're being taught from a
Are you really relying on the Boy Scouts to teach your children how to be a man?
Yes, because I'm busy at the Rick Emerson show.
Is that a merit badge right beneath like
you play catch with your kids on the weekend?
Like father, like son.
No, but I did show up at the soccer game the other day.
Do your children forget who you are sometimes?
The drunken, stinky, hungover father guy.
The drunken, stinky dad. Fantastic. Because he was out till 5 o'clock in the morning at a Pat Benatar concert, and then he had to drive his kid to his soccer game, and he smelled.
That hurt. Let me tell you, it hurts.
Do the other kids ask you to drop them off like a couple blocks away? So it's like a whole lot. Who's that guy back there? I don't know. He's trying to pick me up in his car. I don't know. So from a Pat Benatar concert?
Right, because it was up in Tacoma, and we had to stay there and gamble a little bit after the show.
You had to. It was required, what with the drinking.
Who watched the kids?
Mrs. J.
The cat.
She was not there.
Oh, who's we then?
Whoa, hold on. Let's back up.
Did you go with your brother and his special friend?
Let's stop. A, why would you drive to Tacoma to see Pat Benatar?
Without your wife.
Wasn't she at the Roseland like 3 days ago?
Yeah.
Right. There's where we screwed up because we didn't realize that she was just
who's
here.
Who's we?
Wait, listen, I can hear your things being put on the lawn.
A buddy of mine and his wife, you know, good friends of ours.
Really?
And my wife wanted to go.
When you say good friends of ours, do you mean in the mafia sense or in the swinging sense?
As in good friends,
as in
buddies.
Do you take erotic photographs of one another?
No.
Okay.
As in
you
buddies.
Put the keys in a jar?
No.
Jiggle them around?
He's one of them, Joan Allen. All right, so I don't understand this. Why would you go to Tacoma to see Pat Benatar and then not take your wife?
Well, she wanted to go, but she had to work the next day and made it very clear that I needed to be home to take the kids to soccer. And I'm like, oh, the horror, I can already see it.
So was this just like were you taking advantage of the fact that she didn't say when? It was just a whole lot of, be back by soccer.
That's right. No, we were up there because it's a long ways away, so, you know.
Got a Jay who drove.
The friends.
Okay.
All right. I slept in the back of the car. Slept car.
It's, okay.
So you and Mrs. Jay go out on dates?
Sure.
But you go to see Pat Benatar, and then you go out gambling.
Well,
whose money do you gamble with?
I make money, and I have made money, and
I'm just asking.
I have coffee cans in the backyard, like we talked about earlier. And so, but mainly she makes money.
Okay. Did you win?
No.
Oh, boy, that's going to make things a lot smoother.
Right.
Hey, honey, I lost some money. Also, I was in Tacoma with another couple.
When you got home, did she know how late you got home?
No, because I got home
at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Was the pillow wall up?
No.
So did you even have a chance to sleep before you took the kids to soccer practice?
Like, it doesn't feel like sleep. It was 2 hours, but it's one of those sleeps where you might as well not go to sleep because it's 10 times worse when you get up, and I couldn't even see straight, or it was a bad
morning.
Good
thing you're driving small children.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was just a bad morning.
Right through a school zone, too. Fantastic. All right. So anyways, let's get back to the pussification of your child by the Boy Scouts, exactly. So how is this? Is it like, is being a man, like, is that right below, like, rope tying or something on the merit badge?
Well, I just think, you know, they could use a little bit more male perspective. So, you know,
Scotty, do you know that you can volunteer?
I'm going to add to the Mr. Mom thing, and I'm going to, you know.
Are you going to become a scout leader?
We're going to make men out of
my
these
mom
kids.
Was an assistant scout leader.
Really? All right. What is it exactly? I'm just curious about this. What is it exactly that you're expecting the scouts to teach your child about being a man?
Respect, number one. You know,
is there a problem at home with the children?
No,
are they calling you Scott?
No, not that I can't teach them this myself, but when you get around others, and it's more of kind of like, I want to use the word military, but, you know, it's more of a saluting thing, you know, they salute the flag.
You want your children to salute you?
No, what I'm talking about is what you learn in the Boy Scouts, right? Whereas they might not, sitting in front of the TV at home, or, you know, you tell them something, they don't necessarily listen as a parent, but, you know.
But if a Boy Scout leader says it, then it's the word of God.
It's a damn
pretty
woman.
Much.
If a guy, yeah, seriously, unless it's such a goddamn feminist. All right.
We're going to make baskets today. See, that's what I'm afraid of, but.
So you're jumping to conclusions.
Yes.
Let's just be honest here. Let's cut right to the chase.
Hey, I got an idea.
If you could send your kid to military school, would you?
We need a break.
No, probably not.
All right.
So.
Okay.
Wait, what are the...
No,
we should continue this.
No. We're going to get back to this.
Okay.
The pussification of... pussification of Scotty's child.
I think we've covered it.
Of my boy. It's fantastic.
I want to get more into him and Mrs. J. He's walking away.
I'll get the fishbowl. It's 503-733-2970. It is a Rick Emerson radio program.
There's free food.
Really?
Uh-huh. Tim just came in with a sign.
Is that why we're breaking?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, back after this, the AM 970 Noon News Hour begins around the corner. Later on, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitchemarger, and more from the life of Scotty J. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.